Protection for the Oregon State Legislature to order. It's Monday, February 12th. Committee members, today I'm going to be introducing some committee bills, and then we will be having a public hearing on House Bill 2436. So at this point, I'd like to open a work session for the introduction of committee bills. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we adopt LC-1299, LC-1300, LC-2276, and LC-2707 as committee bills for the purpose of getting them into the system for drafting.
Representative Bonamici moves LC-1299, 1300, 2276, and 2707 to be introduced as committee bills. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, LCs are adopted as committee bills. Maybe next time. At this point, I'd like to close the work session and open a public hearing on House Bill 2436. Steve, would you give us a little preview of House Bill 2436?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2436 requires an insurer to obtain the title of any vehicle declared by the insurer to have been totaled.
Okay, then we'll have up Monty King.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Monty King. I work for the Oregon Vehicle Dealer Association and I reside here in Salem. We brought this bill forward because of problems we've seen in the in our state, mainly with consumers, but also affecting dealers. This is an issue that affects dealers because dealers must, as a matter of right and law, tell a person if a vehicle has a branded title before they sign the purchase order for the vehicle. So it's just clear disclosure that it has a branded title, that it had maybe been reconstructed or had other problems. Maybe it was a flood car, manufacturer buyback, crushed, whatever. But a dealer has to tell that to a consumer before they sign the purchase order. However, there's been a situation, and a lot of consumers have called me over the years, also having the same problem, but they can't do anything about it, maybe because the values aren't there. When an insurance company totals a vehicle covered by insurance, but the customer owns the vehicle, they have the title in their hand. Well, the insurance company is now required to get that title back from them and send that title to DMV so the salvage title can be issued. What the law right now, I'm not a lawyer, but what's been happening is that they write a letter to the customer. And if the customer wants to retain the salvage, that's what this is about. So they want to retain their car that got wrecked. So the insurance company is going to give them the difference between the retained value and the value of it a whole. So maybe on a $6,000 crushed vehicle, wrecked vehicle, maybe they're having to pay out, say, $8,000. So in this case, they're going to pay that customer $2,000, and the customer is going to keep the wrecked car. Well, they put a letter with that check, and the letter said basically, hey, you got to tell the next person you sell this vehicle to that it's a wrecked car that's going to have a branded title. And by the way, you're supposed to go in and get a salvage title for the vehicle. Well, the first thing that happens is when they get their check is they tear the letter off and they throw that away. And then maybe a year or two later down the road, when they do sell it, they just forget. Now, that person who buys the vehicle, when they get their title, it is going to say brand. It's going to have a brand on it. And now there's a red box. It's really nice on the Oregon titles. But a lot of people, I know it sounds funny, they don't open their letters from DMV that have the titles in them. They just get, oh, my title. Okay. And they put it in their drawer. So they might not know for 2 or 3 years sometimes that they bought a branded vehicle. It affects dealers because a branded vehicle in Oregon is worth less than one that's not branded. So if we're going to take in vehicles, we see a clean title, we're going to give them more for the vehicle than we should be giving them. And then when we sell it, we're going to have problems. The new customer is going to look like at the dealer like they're a criminal. And we're going to have to buy it back and then resell it with proper disclosure. That's in the cases where the dealers don't have to process title. Maybe I went through that a little bit fast, but so this bill will fix that. Now, we have talked from the insurance industry. Let them talk for themselves. I have a couple of questions about what a proposal would mean. I do have some draft amendments to try and resolve it with the insurance industry about how to do the process better, to make it at least better than it is, to get something done this session. I gave the draft amendments to Jordan come out.
Okay.
So what the draft amendments would do basically is allow the insurance companies, instead of sending them the $10 for the salvage title, they could go ahead and send a check, and they could send a letter that says, hey, we're applying for a salvage title with DMV. So when you get that salvage title, that's the real title. It will wipe out the original good title that they still have in their hand. So there's no way they can say they forgot. They should be selling that vehicle with a salvage title. And then if they want to repair it and they want to put it on the road again, they're supposed to have a VIN inspection done by DMV, and then they can get a new title issued with a brand on it. So.
Questions from the committee? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nice to see you, Monty. Thanks for being here. On this bill, I have a kind of a statement and a question from constituents in my district. It says that they don't support this bill in its current form because they think what would make more sense would be for insurers to notify the DMV when a car is totaled and pay the $10 fee to mark the title, because it's the DMV's responsibility to make sure vehicles have proper titles, and then it would be up to them then to mark the title as totaled in their system, and that voids any title the consumer is holding, which is not current. And one more further statement is that car dealers then should check with the DMV for the most current title status before taking a trade or selling a car, and therefore then other consumers are protected from being sold a vehicle without a proper title. Does that make sense to you?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, that does make good sense. The draft amendments basically would do the first statement you made of the insurance company would pay for the salvage title. The salvage title would then be sent to that consumer who retained the salvage vehicle. Okay. The second part of it about the dealers, many dealers do that already. A lot of dealers, though, it's kind of a misnomer in a lot of people's minds, but what's a dealer in Oregon? A dealer in Oregon, on the average, is mom and pop. They're selling 8, maybe 15 cars a month. A lot of dealers in Oregon sell 5, 6, 8, or 9 a year. To be able to be part of that system is a little bit more expensive than they want to do. What they want to do is sell cars, hand out the title, let the people go on their own way. Okay, so they are responsible, absolutely, without a doubt. If they sell a vehicle with a branded title, it's coming back as long as that customer finds out. Okay, under the Unfair Trade Practices Act, of course, it's a three times the damages and 100% of the lawyer fees. That's what they get if they do that and get caught. That's pretty significant. A vehicle, say, retail $12,000 with a branded title would only be worth $8,000. So the damage would be $4,000 times three, that's $12,000 plus your lawyer fees. So that's pretty significant. So dealers don't want to do that. I don't see that happening a lot. But many, many dealers do check those titles. And there's a system called DMV Automated Voice Exchange. And they can call in and they dial in stuff. But they got to join it. It's a system. You've got to, you know, pay money in. And then it'll dial out and it'll mail you some reports. And it actually will talk to you and tell you some of the stuff. It'll maybe tell you the title number. DMV can tell you more about that system. But it's not something a lot of the smallest dealers do. Dealers do not want to sell cars with hidden brands on. Let me tell you, they do not want to do that. We've worked, I think, really hard in the industry over the last four sessions to take brands out of law, put them into rules, and start branding people cars that have flood damage, manufacturer buybacks, all of these different kinds of brands that other states have, we now have, basically, because of what the industry and DMV has done over the last few sessions. But I'll tell you, there's still thousands and tens of thousands of cars driving around Oregon right now that have brands that are hidden because they were titled previous to the changes.
One quick follow-up.
Follow-up, please.
Thank you for that answer. Do you think, do you think we need to cure this Second Amendment that was handed out to make it read more like what we talked about? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I have wrote it.
You brought it?
Okay.
So do you think this handles this problem with my constituents?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I do.
Okay. So you think we should just clearly omit the car dealer's responsibility?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, this does not omit any car dealer responsibility for informing somebody of a branded title. It does not affect that at all. That's okay. Still clear. That would be unfair trade practice for not doing it.
So also, excuse me, continue.
Follow up, please.
Mr. Chair, there are hundreds of cars that are just left along the road. Having worked on this bill, as you may recall, in the 2001. We had a problem towing them even, you know, getting them towed off the road. So how's anybody on earth, whose responsibility is, you know, because we have so many people that just, when they die, leave them, and they either depart the country or the state. Whose responsibility is it for those titles that these cars may or may not have been involved in an accident?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, this bill doesn't speak to that kind of stuff. Although I've been involved in some tow legislation in the past, and I'm pretty familiar with the requirement of what Oregon DMV, Oregon says an owner of a vehicle must do. Everybody in Oregon must tell DMV who they sold the car to. Okay? If a dealer sells a car out of dealer stock, they either have to apply for title, hand the title to another dealer, or do a Form 6890 notice of sale. If you sell your personal vehicle, you must put in a 6890 notice of sale within 10 days, and it's true for a dealer too. If you don't do it within 10 days, and that vehicle is towed off the highway, then you are responsible for all the towing and storage charges of the vehicle. And it doesn't matter if you can prove who you sold it to. I know dealers who have paid thousands and thousands of dollars a tow operator because they didn't do that Form 6890. So that's who's responsible for paying for the tow, and that's why the tow companies are taking, 1,000 vehicles a week off the highways? Something like that?
Yeah.
So That system is already there as far as I don't see a big problem there for that aspect of it. I had a bill a few years ago that lowered the notice requirement from 20 to 15 days on when a tow operator had to tell you that he had your car. And that hasn't been modified since that.
Representative Riley.
I just wanted to follow up on what she's saying, because I don't think the communication was there. You answered a question of who's responsible if we can find them. Her question, I think, was who's responsible if the owner of the car, the registered owner of the car, cannot be found, has left the country, has left the state, whatever. Am I correct?
You are correct. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, thank you for clearing that. I didn't get that. Nobody.
Okay.
The tow operator is going to take it, you know, and he's going to deal with it. He is going to try and sell it at a public auction. I apologize. I don't know how to turn that one thing
on. I think that's a $100 fine, isn't it, Mr. Chair?
can you show me that in the statute?
Let me look that up right here. In this.
I know I turned everything down.
No.
Okay, now it's off.
Everybody check their phones.
That's right. It's very expensive.
The tow operators are doing that. I think it's a great thing what they're doing. There's some money coming back to the tow operators, because when they go to a city and they say, okay, I want to be one of your tow guys, the city will pick out like three of them, and then they'll get rates. So have rates approved by the city. And one of the rates is, how much can you charge for a vehicle towed at the request of a public agency? And that's usually a bit higher than what you would pay for your own vehicle. And so they're going to get some of that money back. So there is money coming back to them. I don't know if it's fair or not fair. That's up to the city and local jurisdictions to set those rates and approve those kind of rates. If the tow operators weren't making any money at it, they wouldn't apply to be the city tow people. I don't know.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Girard.
Thank you. I have a question. I think a lot of this arose a little bit out of the problem that was down in New Orleans. You mentioned flood, where a lot of cars were flooded and totaled and now seem to be turning up as new, as just plain used cars. This really won't impact anything that happens out of state, will it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Girard. Girard. Not really, I guess. A lot of people don't understand about the vehicles in Louisiana. Now, if anybody knows about cars and stuff and repossessions, they know in Louisiana nobody would sell you a cheap car on time. You had to pay cash for it. Therefore, a lot of people didn't have insurance. The reason they wouldn't sell cheap cars is because they were under Napoleonic law for repossessions until about a year and a half ago, which meant you had to sue the person in court, win in court, and then you had to take the result of the suit to the sheriff, and then you had to pay him to go repossess the car. Doesn't work. You know, I mean, really. You're into it about $2,000, $3,000 before you can even get to the car, so nobody was repossessing lower-dollar cars. So all these probably have of that $560,000 to $580,000 cars in Louisiana were not insured. They aren't even on the radar screen. They're not even in the databases. They're just a bunch of cars that have been flooded, and they are all over the place. I heard a report there was 170 trucks a day coming out of Louisiana, all of them with about 8 or 9 cars on them. Okay? It's huge what was happening. That it doesn't really influence this, but it wouldn't happen like that kind of thing wouldn't happen here, because we don't have those kind of numbers of uninsured vehicles, I think. So we don't want those things either. We've seen them at the auctions in Oregon. They're still coming through almost every week, my understanding.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Nelson, please.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Chair, but I guess today's not my day for having a sharp brain. I mean, don't anybody say no day is. But I'm just not following this because it seems like to me that from the bill to this amendment, we have just made the insurer even more responsible in that now he or she or they, the insurance company, has to then find the person because they've got to notify him or her that the certificate of title has been now been canceled by the DMV. I just can't. It seems like we're making the wrong person responsible. When the person who has to have insurance should be the one taking care of this burden.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, the insurance company does know who they're going to get their check to. The key to this bill is there is going to be a salvage title issued for a wrecked vehicle. That's the real critical thing that's going to happen. Instead of a person retaining a wrecked vehicle with a clean Oregon title that they can repair in their garage and sell to somebody fraudulently, okay, this is going to ask the insurance company to go ahead and issue their check to their customer. And they're going to apply for the salvage title to DMV, and DMV is going to send it to the same address the check is sent to. So there's not a problem about finding anybody. They already know where the people are.
Okay, fine,
they wouldn't
Mr.
be getting the check.
Quick follow-up, please. So return to sender mail. I'm back to Chuck and I asking about people that disappear. I mean, it's not about that, Chuck says. So, the people aren't there to receive the notice that they need to apply for a new title for this vehicle. I'm just trying to figure out who then is responsible or who does the vehicle belong to.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, in the usual case of a wrecked car, total car, the insurance company pays if there's a lien holder. The insurance company is going to pay off the lien holder. The insurance company is going to get the title from the lien holder, and they're going to take the car. They're going to physically own the car. That's basically what they do when they pay a vehicle off. They take ownership. In this particular case, it's when a customer wants to retain their vehicle even though it's wrecked. That's the key here is they're going to retain their car. They want to fix it back up, and they want to drive it again. It's only on the remainder of the value that's going to come out of the insurance company to that person, and then they're going to have a salvage title sent to that person. So that person actually is going to have to do less now than they ever had to do. So it's good for the consumer. It's good for the dealers because we're not going to have to deal with as many of these kind of things. It's good for DMV because the DMV is getting that vehicle on a salvage title, which is supposed to happen every time. I don't see any problem here for the consumer at all.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is not a question, but I'm hoping to hopefully clarify this a little bit. Under the existing law, this clause A that is going to be taken out if this bill passes without amendment, it says what happens if the insurer has to get the certificate of title from the owner. And B, which comes out on this bill, says if they can't get that, here's what they need to do. This is a substitute for B, although I must say with all due respect to Mr. King, that it isn't very clear. But it's not your fault. It's because you were modeling it after the B that is coming out of here. But there already is a requirement under existing law that the insurer notify the registered owner. That's already there. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair.
This just changes that process and adds a step of sending to DMV for the salvage title. So I hope that clarifies it just a little bit. And I'm sure the other witnesses will talk about what they think about this new requirement of the insurer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, go ahead.
I guess if I didn't know this serious issue of these abandoned vehicles, I mean, some of these are brand new. They're used by drug runners. I mean, we've been on this subject for over the past 7 years. And I guess if I didn't know that, I wouldn't be so concerned about how you're going to get a title back from me if I were a drug runner and I'm on my way to San Jose. And you're not going to get this title back from me. So you're just going to apply for a new title and put your name as the owner, and so be it, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, this has nothing to do with vehicles that are seized off the highway, that are towed off the highway, that are abandoned on the highway.
Even if they've been towed, excuse me, Mr. Chair, even if they've been in an accident, which has happened right here on Wallace Road, which we all know, right here in our backyard.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I guess it's possible in a few of the many cases that actually happen, in a few of them it could be a criminal who's on the run, and I don't see them applying for this insurance check anyway. Is the insurance company going to track down the guy who's on the run? I don't know. I think if he's stupid to come back with a check. But if he came back with a check, there would be his salvage title also. That's, the insurance company is going to send a check. DMV is going to send a salvage title to the same address. If nobody picks anything up, I guess they go back. Now let's talk about what happens to the vehicle at that point. At that point, the tow operator takes it back to the location, waits a few days, puts a lien on the vehicle, notifies all parties of interest that there's a lien on the vehicle, and when nobody shows up, they try and auction it at public auction, and if they don't sell it at public auction, then they can sell it to a dealer, or, you know, there's a few ways for them to sell it. At that point, they sell it with lien papers, and those lien papers are now used to get a title from DMV. When the title is issued from DMV, if there is a brand on the vehicle record, then that brand will come out on the title at that point. But the vehicle is going to be bought with a lien, with lien papers at that point, and that's one of the ways things are done. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. King. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have John Powell and Steve Murrell. Murrell? Thank you for coming today and adding your testimony to this subject matter. If you could state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Powell. I represent State Farm Insurance Companies, and with me is Steve Murrell, a claims attorney with State Farm, and willing to lend his expertise to this subject, which does get, I think, a little bit more confusing than it really is. This bill, I think, in some form like this, has been in a couple times, and we'll leave it to others, I guess, to create the need for it. We're not sure exactly what the universe is of titling issues as a result of totaled vehicles in Oregon. We've already discussed there are issues with cars coming in from out of state. Mr. Merle informs me that for the flooded cars, there's now a database that is designed to try to take care of those cars as they move. So I would like Mr. Merle to kind of explain what happens now when a car is titled and what the insurer's responsibility is and what they do.
Thank you.
Yep, Chair Holby and members of the committee, I'm Steve Merle. I'm an attorney employed by the claim department of State Farm Insurance. Just going to give you some background on where we got to have this law today and what happens on current practices within the industry. For years, probably since we've had automobiles, there have been situations where vehicles have been wrecked, considered unrepairable on an economic basis, and paid for by insurance companies, and then sold to salvage. Some of those vehicles that are wrecked in such a way that maybe someone could take sweat equity and put into them, bring them back up to a point of restoration that's an acceptable and safe restoration, and sell them as a vehicle has gone on for years. Probably beginning in the 1980s and through the 1990s, the technology of car construction changed significantly, requiring much more specialized equipment to properly repair cars than it existed in the entire history of the automobile in the United States until that point in time. At that point in time, what we started to see were vehicles that were totaled and then rebuilt is the term that was used at that point in time, which is now a term of art and may be unfortunate to use in this setting, but those vehicles were rebuilt and put on the road and they were unsafe because they, particularly one of the things you have is you have high-strength steel in automobiles today. If you don't have the right kind of welder and don't follow the right types of procedures as to where you cut that metal and re-splice it, it now becomes brittle and the car is no longer crash-worthy. And a lot of cars were just plain dangerous that were put back on the roads. Coming out of that, motor vehicle departments across the United States, including in Oregon, and the insurance industry were pulled in by those departments as stakeholders to try to see if there's some way we can prevent dangerous cars from being put on the road and to have some sort of notice to downstream consumers that this was a car that was wrecked, put back together again, and then resold. And out of that comes what they call title branding. What you have before you is a statute that is directed at doing that, to go ahead and identify those vehicles that are totaled, which is a defined term in the Motor Vehicle Code, have their titles branded so that if they should have, or actually not have the titles branded originally, but to initially when the vehicle is totaled, the title converts from a title to a salvage certificate, which is a document that an insurer and salvage sellers and buyers use to then go ahead and show as their ownership. They transmit the salvage certificate back and forth. If the car is ever put back on the road, then there's a procedure for having that vehicle retitled that issues it with a title brand up in the box that would show it as being totaled. That's what these current statutes do. I think by and large they do a good job of doing just what they're designed to do, which is give consumers notice of totaled vehicles. In configuring the statutes, there's recognition that what happens today in the industry, there's two kinds of vehicles that get totaled. One is the vehicle that gets totaled that you don't want to have anything to do with as a consumer anymore. You're ready to move on. You're past that car. You're going to sell the entire car basically to State Farm when they pay you for the value of it. And so you turn over your title in the process of settling, and we take that title, apply to Motor Vehicles Division for a salvage certificate, and it goes through its new life as either recycled parts in other cars, which is the most common thing to happen. It may become scrap metal, or in some cases it could become a vehicle again on the road. But that process that we've gone through getting the salvage certificate now allows Motor Vehicles Division identified as totaled. The second species of car is a car that the consumer decides that they would like to retain. Typically, that is a lower dollar car that is not economic to repair but may still be operable, or with some minor repairs would be operable, but it's not economic to restore it to a full condition that would be acceptable for a repair. When the consumer decides to retain the vehicle, currently what happens is they sign a document. It's a salvage retention agreement. It does two things. The first thing it does is tells them their vehicle has now been declared as totaled. They'll have to go through a process applying to Motor Vehicles Division for a salvage certificate, and then if they decide to keep the vehicle on the road, through getting a title that's issued, branded with a totaled marker on it. And that's the responsibility of the consumer. They get notice right when they settle with us. The second thing that document does is internally it tells us where the salvage went so that we know that that went back to the consumer, should be in a salvage pool being sold somewhere. It's an accounting check, it's a fidelity check, as well as a compliance check to make sure that we know where salvage is. We, at the conclusion of that transaction, then send a letter to Motor Vehicles Division, which tells them this vehicle was totaled, the person retained the salvage. DMV is then able to take that document and flag the title file so that the next transaction they have with that consumer or with that vehicle, they know that it's totaled and they can go ahead and take care of what's supposed to be done at that point. At this point, it's really the consumer's responsibility to have the vehicle put into a salvage certificate form and retitled. There are some heavy consequences for not doing it. There's a significant violation, I think, that has the potential for over a $300 fine if they don't do it. Motor vehicles at this point don't think follows up with the consumers. Everybody is under the assumption they will follow the law and do what they're supposed to do. At the time we settled, we currently pay them the cost of the transactions it would take to get the retitling done, so they have the money to do that with. What the current statute, what the current proposal, it has some problems for us, is if you go with the bill as it's presented today, we would be in a situation of every time we total a vehicle, we would have to make sure we got the title. That creates problems if lien holders have titles, because I need to hold up my payment until the lien holder can come. It presents problems with titles during transition. I just was given the car by my great uncle. He can't locate the title, so we have to go through some sort of process of getting the title back and getting it to us so we can go on with the transaction. Or maybe you own your car, and I'd like to pose the question to you, which one of you right now that owns your car would be able to go home right now and lay your hands on the title and bring it in to settle with me? Representative Riley is raising his
hand.
That's
not a fair question.
And I could raise my hand. It's not because of me, but it's because my wife keeps them in little files and booklets where I would. But there are a large number of people that aren't able to do that, and it's a real problem for being able to get them back on the road and do what we need to do for them. The amendment that's been discussed today was kind of something that came out of a brainstorming session we had last Thursday as an insurance lobby, saying, what could we do different? I don't know if it's feasible at this point. The reason I don't know is we have not consulted all the motor vehicle statutes on titling. The stakeholder, Motor Vehicles Division, would be a very important stakeholder, has not been able to look at that and see what kind of impact that would have on them or what kinds of changes in statutes would need to be have authority. But the concept was, instead of just notifying motor vehicles that we've totaled it and have a consumer follow up, if there couldn't be some sort of authority that we sent the fee to Motor Vehicles Division and had them in their records cancel the title and send a salvage certificate. That would be maybe a little bit more efficient. I don't know if it's possible without a lot more work than what we've done here. And since this was a bill that was dropped and we've not had a chance to work on it before it coming to the committee, we're willing to work on that, but I'm not sure how possible it is. With that, if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Questions from the committee? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't so much a question, but as a hopefully make sure we're all thinking alike here. The way that I see the bill as it's originally presented, there's nothing that you can do if you can't for some reason get the title. Is that correct? So that there, if it isn't this amendment that's feasible, it seems like there needs to be something, because there may be circumstances where you just can't get the title for some reason.
Chair Holby and Representative Bonamici, that is true, and that's why in its previous lives of coming before the legislature, this bill hasn't gone anywhere. It's just the way it's drafted now is not workable.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? It might be interesting for us to hear from the Department of Motor Vehicles on this at some point. I thought they might be here today, but
Mr. Chairman, there is somebody here.
Oh, they are here.
To answer any questions.
Well, if we have no further questions of Mr. Powell and Mr. Morrell, then
thank you.
Maybe we'll excuse you and hear from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Thank you for being here and being willing to come up and speak to this bill for us and try to give us some clarity. Identify yourself for the record.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, I'm Jack Evans. I'm legislative liaison with ODOT. And with me is Lana Cully, who is the manager of DMV's vehicle programs. We have had an opportunity, a very brief opportunity, to take a look at this amendment that was spoken about. We haven't had the opportunity to seriously vet it and see what impact that might have, which we're willing to do and get back to you on it. But if you have some questions about the existing process or the bill as it's currently outlined, we'd be happy to address some of your questions.
Representative Galizio.
Mr. Evans, would you agree with the Vehicle Dealers Association that a problem does exist and it's significant enough to require some kind of action?
Well, we're not sure, Chair Holder, Representative Galizio, we're not entirely sure the problem exists. We're certainly willing to discuss that and see what we can do to rectify things to assist with this bill, but we haven't had the opportunity, I guess, to really find the arguments terribly compelling so far.
Representative Girard.
Thank you. The insurance company, if there is a problem, the insurance company seemed to have a solution in that if they would just send notice to DMV of the problem, this bill would require them to have title. That they said that wasn't workable. But do you see a problem with their suggestion as it was presented?
Chair Holvey, Representative Girard, that was the amendment, and we'd like to take a look at that. And
let me follow.
Are you talking about the
amendment? I don't think they're for the amendment either. At least that's my interpretation from the insurance industry, in that garnering the title so that they would have the title isn't really doable for them, but notifying you of the salvage is, might be doable in there, and that's where, at least that's my understanding of that.
Chair Holvey, Representative Girard, let me turn this over to Lana Culley to talk about the current process and address your question.
Okay.
Chair Holvey, Representative Girard, I think what you're saying is what's the current process today without that piece taken out of the statute, because the insurance companies today either get the title from the customer and apply for salvage, or they simply notify us, okay, and then we flag the record.
All right.
So by taking that piece out, that doesn't allow them just to notify.
That just reverts back to the old bill. Okay, thank you.
And could you identify yourself for the record?
I'm sorry, I'm Lana Culley, DMV.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Representative Riley.
let me see if I can summarize what I think we're talking about, and somebody tell me if I'm right and if the problem that I see is real. What I see that we're talking about is when the insurance company is not able to get the title, they're going to notify DMV, who then sends out a certificate to the consumer, a salvage certificate to the consumer. That's how I read what the bill and whatever amendment they come up with is going to kind of look like. And the problem I see and wonder about is, how do you know from this notification that the car was really totaled? And if you don't have the title, it seems to me there's a problem in identifying not only the source of who's asking for this and where you're sending it. It just seems to be a problem to me, a procedural problem all the way around. I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Chair Holvey, Representative Riley, yes, it is a problem for us. We today, for our process for titling, require the previous title to be submitted before we will issue a new title. And part of that is to get that old title off the street, essentially. So with that amendment, it leaves those clean titles in the owner's hands, and then we would be sending them a salvage title on top of that. Mm-hmm. Now, our records would show the salvage title as the latest title, so that clean title would not be valid anymore, but that doesn't keep them from turning around and selling that vehicle with that clean title still.
Especially out of state.
Hey, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here. Now, I just want everybody to know I wasn't crazy to begin with, as you can now tell.
Nobody ever thought you were.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here, Mr. Evans and Ms. Culley. I know y'all aren't going to do anything for no money. So that's kind of what's missing here, too, in this proposal. You know, if the insurer is supposed to notify you of something, and then you've got to do something for them, there's got to be a fee in here, right? And so I'm just thinking that that's something that an insurer's not going to want, you know, that burden. So since you're already being paid for what you're doing now, what is wrong with what we're doing now? I'll let you answer that one.
Chair Holvey, Representative Nelson, are you asking what's wrong with the current process? We're not convinced that there's anything really wrong with the current process, except we're willing to explore ways to close that loophole where people can take a clean title and in a dishonest fashion pass off a car to another person that's been totaled without giving them the benefit of that knowledge. As far as the current procedures go, we're pretty much under the assumption that it's going well now, and until proven otherwise, that's essentially why we're neutral on this measure.
Any other questions from the committee? I think you've given us a little clarity, but if you wish to contact us at a future date and let us know if you can really propose something that rectifies a potential problem perceived, and if none is perceived, then you might respond to us that way too.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before everybody leaves, my concern is one raised by Ms. Colley, in that the owner will retain the old title and have a salvage title. So if we can find a way to address that issue, that would be important. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. That was such a good question. In order to get insurance for a vehicle, does it require you to bring a title in, Ms. Colley?
Chair Holvey, into us?
Into the insurer, into anybody.
The insurance industry would probably better to answer that, because I don't know what they require for any insurance.
So the whole my point here is that I feel, well, let's see. I don't want to confuse this further. Let me just stop and not ask it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no further questions, thank you very much for testifying on this bill today, and I'll have committee staff follow up with those who testified today and determine whether we're going anywhere further with this bill. Seeing no other business for the committee, I'd like to adjourn the public hearing on House Bill 2436 and or close the public hearing on House Bill 2436 and adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection.